Turn in your Bibles once again to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. We've been looking at the book of Galatians. In the first two chapters of Galatians, Paul has been talking about where he got the gospel. And we found out he got it directly from the Lord. And that the gospel centers in God's marvelous grace, unmerited favor. And that if you mess with God's grace, it is a grave sin to mess with the grace of God in the gospel. That's why when you preach the good news of Jesus Christ, you make it very clear that there's only one thing that pleases God, and that is a life of faith, trust in what God has done through Jesus Christ. I'm a big picture guy. This is our textbook. I don't know what translation you have. There are a whole bunch of translations. They all go back to rendering Hebrew and Greek. But what is this book about? Preachers assume too much sometimes. This book is about big picture, there is a God. He created us. Boy, go to university today and well, that sounds strange. You were no accident. He planned you. You weren't a product of mindless chance. God personally deliberately put man on this planet, created all the stars and the heavens. He spoke it into being. And this book deals with how to know about God and have a personal relationship with Him. It tells us that at one time God actually walked with our great-grandparents. The Shekinah glory walked with our great-grandparents, but something happened. Man fell. Man disobeyed. And that's why when people say, where is God now? Well, what our great-great-grandfather did broke God's fellowship with us. We are in, the Bible says, in a fallen condition. Boy, you can tell. All we have in this world is what? War. You name it. We're in a fallen condition. And this book tells us how we can have a relationship with God and please Him. And we can know about Him and walk with Him. God is in the process in this book of restoring man's fellowship with God. And there are two parts to this book that tell that story. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant is what we call the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, God was teaching people how to have fellowship with Him. And the Old Covenant emphasized the law of God. And He was teaching man that obedience pleased God. But He was also teaching them that no one could perfectly obey. The law, Paul said in Galatians, this old covenant was there to teach us that we in our fallen condition cannot please God by doing works, Mark says. As a matter of fact, you can't do the Old Testament law because the law was required to do it all or you're guilty of it all. What was God trying to teach? If you walk with Him, you cannot earn your walk with God. You can't. Don't let any other preacher tell you, you earn your walk with God. The new covenant Jesus established. The old covenant promised a new covenant, which showed us that if we want to have a walk with God, what really pleases God is one word, faith. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, without trust in God, it is impossible to please Him. You want to know what pleases God this morning? Your trust in Him. Jesus said, unless you become as a child. Let me tell you a story about my dad. I loved my dad, miss him. But my dad had a little bit of a Mickey Mousing side to him. You'll find out what I mean by that. When I was a little kid, for some reason, I was going through thinking at night that there was something under my bed. And so I was waking my dad up because I was afraid something was under my bed. My dad worked all of his life, night and day, as a sales guy. And, you know, it's hard when you're tired and having a kid wake up and there's nothing under his bed, but he's frightened. So my dad said to me, "Hey, Dave, come here." I said, "Yeah." He says, "Here is a magic cufflink." I was about, I don't know, very little. "Here is a magic cufflink." I still can see those cufflinks. They were purple. And so he brought it and put it on my dresser. And he said, "These magic cufflinks will protect you through the night. You don't have to worry." And do you know what? Do you know what? I believed my dad. I believed that. Now I wake up and I laugh. And I thought, what? And I used to bring that up to him and he would laugh. He says, "Well, I had to get up in the morning, you know." Now, that's sort of a three-legged dog way of illustrating faith. God gives us sure promises, not cufflinks. I don't know. I saw the movie. There must be. I don't know. God gives us wonderful promises that we can trust and are anchored in Him who will never lie or never Mickey Mouse you. And He says this. In the new covenant, what really pleases Him, even in the old covenant, we're going to find out this morning, what always pleases God. If you want to say, how do I please God this morning? It isn't coming with a tie to church. God doesn't look on the outward part of a man or a woman. Isn't that great? You'll never please God by... I've gone to Baptist churches where they would tell you, women can't wear pantsuits. Who made these rules? Come on, ladies. Who made these rules? Men. Thank you. I'll duck from the guys throwing stuff at me. The thing that pleases God is not how you dress. It's your trust in Him. Jesus said, except you become as a child. As a child, I believed my dad about those cufflinks. But you see, God will never give you the cufflink story. It says in Hebrews 11, you must believe that He is. By the way, there's your responsibility. You must believe that He is. And then it says that He rewards those who trust Him. Now, preachers can get all complicated that they want, but what really pleases God, Paul is saying in Galatians, and what the New Testament is saying is that you trust Him. Now, having said that, how many of you would say it's so easy to trust God? There's a story in Mark where Jesus came and this man came up to Him and said, "Lord, my son is ill." And it sounds like he had epilepsy in Mark 9. And Jesus said to the man, "I'll come and heal your son." Jesus said, "But do you believe that I can do that?" And here is what the man said in Mark 9:26. "Lord, I believe..." But He said this, "Help my unbelief." Isn't that the human condition? We would all say yes. The thing that pleases God is trust. It's a simple principle, isn't it? How many of you say that you find trust in God easy to do? You see, I've asked myself, why does God want trust, faith? And does not want works? Because Paul has told us in Galatians that by the works of the law, no man shall be justified. Well, works really do focus on you, don't they? You know, that's why people love to make up all sorts of rules in church. Rules about this, rules about that. But if you think about it, rules make you wondrous and glorious. Faith focuses on God and glorifies Him. And if you really want to please God as His child, the simple principle is trust Him. The hardest principle you'll ever do. You know, it's easier to do things to please God because we can control those things. But we'll struggle with faith, won't we? You'll be like that man in Mark that says, Lord, I trust you, but help my unbelief. It is so characteristic of us humans. And so the lesson that we're learning in the Bible in Galatians is this. Be very careful how you think God is pleased, because there were people that came into Paul's congregation and said, for you to please God, you've got to get back under the old covenant, under the law. Well, the law was designed to teach us, we're going to find out this morning, that we can't keep those laws. That you have to declare your bankruptcy before God and say, Lord, I'm a miserable failure under the old covenant, and it condemns us. And God says the only thing that will please Him is faith, trust in Jesus Christ. And who is, therefore, we've looked in the past weeks, we've been in Galatians chapter 3, where Paul sets this forth of how God wants trust. And the greatest example of trust in God is found in the Old Covenant. And who was the greatest example in the Old Testament of trust in God? By the way, do you know where Abraham was from? Kuwait. He would have been a swarthy guy. If Abraham came to your congregation, he'd be in one of those Middle Eastern garb, and you would want to call 911 because you would think, that's how much things have gotten awry this morning. He was a Kuwaiti. He would have been a guy that was a pagan idolater that God called out, and he lived something that is exactly what God wants us to be like. He lived a life of trust. But if you look at Abraham's life, those of you who have been with us on Wednesday night when we talked about Abraham, his life was not a perfect life of faith, was it? You see, that's the thing. In this life, no one ever will have perfection. But Abraham, we found out, becomes the pattern that God says, if you're going to imitate someone to please me, here is whom you should be like, Abraham. And it says in verse 6 of chapter 3, even so Abraham trusted God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now listen to me. Was Abraham righteous? He was a character. He lied, said Sarah was his sister. He struggled with the fact that God had promised him a child and decided that he'd do God a favor and he'd make a child for God because he didn't think God could do it. So he had Ishmael with Hagar and he created a mess. That's when you walk outside of trust, you create a mess. But God says, though Abraham was not perfect, imitate his faith. Be like Abraham. It's hard to trust God. I think of Precious, Al and Alice in what they went through. And there was Al always in the hospital with Alice, and that must have been difficult to trust God through that. Let's be honest. Preacher can tell you to trust God, but when you're really going through it, you'll feel like the person that Jesus was going to heal the little boy, and you'll say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. God understands this. But in the new covenant, you can tell who your father is. There are only two families in this world, we've found out. There are two families in this world, children of God and children of... And in the old covenant, what did you have to do to show you were a part of the old covenant? What did you need? Give me your papers. Show me your genealogy. Today, guess what? I don't care who you are. You, frankly, can't trace your ancestry. Anybody tried to trace their ancestry? On Ancestry.com and all that? Good luck with that, man. I stopped after a while. Horse thieves hung all sorts of stuff. I mean, you know, you go back. Well, it was in the old covenant. Jewish people had to show their papers. Their genealogy, it was important because God was using the people, the Israelites, to bring in Messiah. But in 70 AD, what did God do? 70 AD, what did he do? Bang! Do you know that there is not one Jewish person today that can prove they're Jewish? They lack their... It's the truth. When somebody says, hi, I'm Jewish, say, I'll take your word for it. Because in the Old Testament, what did you need to show? You had to be of the 12 tribes, and they could. This was a big deal for them. They could give you the papers, but in 70 AD, some soldier, as I've told you, walked into the temple, looked at all the gold and silver and everything there, accidentally took and spilled the olive oil of the menorah, and all of the paperwork to prove it, gone. Well, God, I think, deliberately did that. Why? In the new covenant, how do you know you're a child of Abraham? You have the faith of Abraham. And Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see... Have you seen that in John 8? Go there for one second. You know that Abraham knew more than you realize? Jesus said in John 8. I just want to show you John 8. Where he called those who could show their paperwork children of the devil because they didn't believe in him. It says in John 8, 54, Jesus said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, you people who don't believe in me, you Jews who don't believe in me, he is our God. Well, if he's your God, prove it. Show me that you really do. And Jesus is saying, if you really do love God and he is your God, you'd know who I am. Jesus then said, and you have not come to know him. Why? Because they, listen to me, they were unbelieving because they didn't accept Jesus. But I know him, and I say and if I say that I do not know him, I'd be a liar like you. Well, that's one thing. That's why I want to be a preacher. I don't like any preacher today. There's only one preacher I want to be like. That is Jesus. And I'll be honest with you. Jesus was not seeker sensitive because the group was getting hostile and he called them liars. Paul has called people that walk away from faith and grace. What has he called them? Morons and fools. Today, preachers can't get away with that. They'll come and tell you, I'm taking my money to another church, preacher. But that's what the Bible says. Your father Abraham, verse 56, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw and was glad. Did you know that Abraham knew Jesus was coming? Did you know Abraham believed in Jesus? Now, we don't know when this took place. But it could have been that at the burning bush or in the mountains at Sinai, God told, and Abraham may have, preachers, I'm guessing, but I'll bet you he met Jesus. Because Jesus, it says in John, is Jehovah Yahweh of the Old Testament. That's why he rejoiced to see my day, because Abraham and Jesus had prior conversations. Abraham trusted in Jesus. That is what pleases God. You see, Abraham had advanced faith. Have you ever been in an advanced class? Not me, they were always trying to put me back. But if you've been in an advanced class, Abraham knew Jesus. Abraham had put his trust in Jesus. Abraham rejoiced. God must have shown him in the future the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And he rejoiced. That's why it says in Hebrews, he was looking for this marvelous city whose builder and maker was God. And look what it says. The Jews therefore said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham." How would you know what Abraham thought? That's a good question. But they didn't have any trust. They didn't know who was there, that God, the Shekinah glory, tabernacled among them. And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So I want to tell you about something about Abraham's faith. Jesus said his faith encompassed more than you imagine. His faith encompassed trusting in Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Galatians. "Even so, Abraham believed God," verse 6 of chapter 3, "and God reckoned it for righteousness." You want to be righteous before God? What does the word righteous mean? It means you want to be in a right relationship with God. Righteousness means you're correctly related to God. That lost fellowship that we lost because our great-grandfather blew it and our great-grandmother is restored by trust like Abraham had in God. You want to please God? Don't wear a tie to church. You want to please God? Don't even bring shoes. Who cares if they're polished? Who cares if the shirt is ironed? The Bible says, man looks on the outside, right? What does God look on? You want to have a heart that pleases God? Say, "Father, I trust you and your grace through Jesus Christ." It says in the Bible that when you do that, your trust, there's a marvelous exchange. Your trust in God causes an exchange, and he gives you the righteousness of Jesus Christ by simple childlike faith in what he has done. And that when you display that childlike faith like Abraham, you know, when Abraham was called, the Lord said, "Abraham!" He said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "Get going. Where am I going, Lord?" And the story is, I'll tell you when you get there. Abraham lived in a beautiful house in a big city. He was a swarthy Arabic guy. And the Lord moved him and he didn't even know where he was going. But he said, "Lord, I'll trust you." Now, it doesn't mean he was perfect. And it says here that even as Abraham believed God, it was reckoned to righteousness. Do you want to please God this morning? Do you want to have a right relationship under the new covenant? You trust him for salvation in Jesus, just like Abraham did. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. You trust. It's a simple principle. Men complicate it. Today, churches will tell you all sorts of things that you need to do. By the way, we're going to have a baptism class coming up on May 31st. Why do we do baptism? Because Jesus said, go and baptize. But listen to me. Baptism is not what pleases God. Now, obedience does please God, but I'll tell you what is the principle that pleases God, and this is it. Trust him. But as that man said when Jesus healed his son, "Lord, I believe, but I'm having struggles in faith." But Abraham believed God, and God reckoned it to him for perfect righteousness. Abraham couldn't be more perfectly righteous than at that point when he said, "Lord, I'll trust you and I'll obey." You see, obedience is a fruit of trusting. You say, "Well, now you go talking about works, Pastor Dave." No, if you really trust him, you know what? That night my dad gave me those cufflinks, I was no longer afraid. You say, "Boy, Dave, you are a sucker." Maybe so. But I trusted my dad. I still would trust him today, even if he Mickey Moused me at that point. God will never Mickey Mouse you like my dad did me. He holds everything in his hand and he's saying, "If you want to please me," and he is a rewarder, Hebrews says, of those who trust him. By the way, God doesn't reward you if you give money to the church. Keep it. Really. He rewards you if you trust him. And it is reckoned to perfect righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith, verse 7, who are the sons of Abraham. How do you know who your daddy is? In the new covenant, you don't need to show any papers. Doesn't matter anymore about who you, your ancestors were. That's good. Whew. Some people can trace their ancestors back. The presidents can trace their ancestors back to kings and queens of England. I can trace my ancestry back to all those who were in debtors' prison in England, and that's why they got over here. They escaped. But look, those who are of faith are the sons and daughters of Abraham. In the new covenant, it's trust. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham. This shouldn't be really new to us. All the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed. God is a rewarder of those who have faith. So we move on to verse 10. If it is faith in God and his promises, be careful, for it says this in verse 10. For as many are under the works of the law, that's a name for the old covenant. You want to please God? You like all the rules? Don't do this, don't do that. You want to get back? See, in Paul's time, Jewish people came into his congregations and said, all these Gentiles have to become good Jews. They have to get under the law of Moses, get circumcised, and keep rules if they're going to follow the Jewish Messiah. But see, that wasn't God's plan. All of that was under the old covenant and temporary to bring Jesus in so that they could prove who he was. And once he established the new covenant, guess what? The only thing that pleases him is trust in him. And that if you try to get back to the old covenant and law, circumcision, Sabbath, and keeping rules, I always watch people that like a lot of rules. I think if I hadn't have been a preacher, I would have liked to have been a psychiatrist. Because I've often watched people that love to keep rules. You know why? Because that usually means that they have themselves a struggle with rules and they're imposing their thinking on you. And a lot of religious people love rules because rules focus on you. Instead, it's trust and faith. And the ones that are usually pounding about all the rules are probably the ones that are violating the rules the most, I've found out. Let me give you an example. Take our politicians. They love to make legislation, don't they? Rules. Guess who, when you hear the newspaper, guess who's always violating the rules that they make? Those rules are for you, not for them. Just us is just for them. They get away with it. See, that's why. Watch people that have all of these rules. There's something wrong. God gives you his grace and asks you to trust. And if you go back to the old covenant, you are under a curse. who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now, when God met the Israelite people, he told them this. You want to follow me? I'm going to put you under a test. Here's the test. I'm going to put you under the law. And the rule is, do it all. And God deliberately did that to teach them that the only thing that's going to please him is trust in him, because we can't do it all. And guess what? They said it three times. We already went through this three times. Lord, everything you say we'll do. And how much did they really do? Matter of fact, the moment they got out of Egypt, they made a golden calf and violated commandment number one. Now, why did that happen? What was God doing? God knew very well that they couldn't keep, because they were in a fallen condition. And he was teaching them their need for God's grace. And they never quite got it, because they had convinced themselves that they could please God through keeping rules. The rules were there to show them they couldn't do it. Now the law, now that no one is justified, verse 11, by the law before God is evident. For even in the Old Testament, Paul says, it says this, the righteous one will live by what? By the way, they were never saved by the law in the Old Covenant. They were required under the Old Covenant to keep the law. None of them could, but the only principle that God has ever accepted to be truly justified before him, even if you got 99.99% of all the laws and you did them right, the 0.001 that you didn't do would condemn you. But it was always in the Old Testament law teaching you, you cannot keep the rules. And men and women were always justified by this simple principle. The righteous one lives by trust. It was never different. The law was teaching them inability. They couldn't do it. And they had to say, Lord, I can't do this. I'm under a curse. I have to trust you that somehow you will help me. And it says here that that was the principle that God wants to drive home, even under the Old Testament. The righteous one will live by trust. What is trust? What is faith? You just say, Lord, I don't understand, but as best as I can, through the power of your Spirit, I will trust. I will trust. The law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who lives by them, who practices them, shall live by them. So, all of you want to be under the old covenant? Do it all. Absolutely 100% is what is expected. Why? To teach you you can't do it? And that you have to show your bankruptcy before God to say, Lord, I must trust you because I sure can't do this. And that's what pleases God. Look at verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He became that curse. You see, the only one that kept the law perfectly was Jesus. There's only been one person. Now, there's a marvelous transaction when you put your faith in Jesus. He was the only one that kept the law perfectly. Everybody else, no matter the greatest saint in the Old Testament, no matter whom you think was the greatest saint, failed miserably to keep the covenant. But Jesus did. And when you come to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, you died for me on the cross. I trust what you have done. You took and were hung on a tree, a curse of the tree. Your faith in God produces a marvelous transaction. God takes your failure, your inability, your spiritual bankruptcy, your inability to keep the law, and in exchange, by faith, your faith that you exercise in what Jesus has done, He gives you the righteousness of Jesus, and when He sees you, He views you as having kept the law perfectly. You didn't do it, Christ did it. You get His credit. You know, there are bargains in life, but none of them can equal, come anywhere near the idea of what Paul is saying here. Christ redeemed us from the curse of law, having become a curse for us. He gives you, when you come to Jesus and you say, Lord, be merciful to me, He gives you Jesus' credit. You know what word you should always remember? In Christ. That's the term that summarizes what happens. God sees you in Christ. And since Christ kept the whole law perfectly, you get His credit by childlike faith. This is the way it's always been designed to be. The law was only to teach us that we needed God as our Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He did. And He became that curse. And I must stop. And next week we'll pick up at verse 14. In order that in Christ, there's that term, huh? The blessing of Abraham comes to Egyptians. Comes to... you name it. Doesn't matter what you are ethnically now. Doesn't matter what papers you carry. The only thing that makes you a true child... I've got two pairs of glasses. How did I do? They multiply. It's a miracle. That scared me. All of a sudden there were two and I thought I only had one. What was I saying before I rudely interrupted this? You get the blessings through faith.